This Mass is being offered in particular for the success of this apostolate at Project Defending Life and in thanksgiving for the great gift of overturning of Roe v. Wade. And Herod kept trying to see him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
What a grace it is to come and to be here present to pray in such a hallowed place, next to such a place which is lacking that realization of how hallowed the rest of the earth is. And so we come here for a bit of repose so that we may be all the more strengthened to be able to continue in this particular apostolate in which the Lord has planted us and called us to labor. In the months previous, we've talked about a number of things. We began by looking at our need to be joyful in this apostolate. Joy has to be the sign of the Christian, has to be the sign of anybody who works in the work in which we do, so we must always be joyful. And then we covered how we needed to be faithful through a sense of filial trust, which is to remain then that fortitude that is there, believing at all times, always toward the good. And then in that faithful month in June, we spoke about our need to be thankful, always thankful for everything, and to continue in that thanks, not merely in the moments, but to continue always giving thanks for God's great and copious gifts with us in every little way in which we see goodness. And then last month on the Feast of St. Helen, to treasure the cross. To treasure the cross and the sufferings which we endure. And so today, what should we impress upon ourselves? Today, in a special way, we need to go back and to fill up what we began. We've talked about faith already, and we've talked about the charity, the love that needs to fill us. Well, what about hope? What about hope that is necessary for us to fulfill our apostolate here? What do our readings speak about within this regard? That first reading speaks about nothing other than everything that has been continues on. Every river feeds into the sea, and it goes out, and everything continues in this pattern, and nothing is new. We say, oh, well, that is new. Well, it's not something new. Well, what do we see? We see the same thing within our work. Just as children were sacrificed to Molech and to all sorts of unclean gods in previous times, and so we see it here, now done even more on an industrial basis. We see that all the troubles that plague men and women continue to plague men and women. The sorrows that they make, the struggles that they go through, and there nothing is different. The human heart has not changed, nor has man's ability to contribute to evil or be fooled toward evil in this. So it's the same, and so it will continue to be. There's nothing that you and I that will change human nature. And so what can often be the difficulty that you and I go through within this is we go out there and we pray on the street corner, we go there and do our prayerful protest and hold up our signs and seek lovingly to change hearts, and we see them go in and we see them go out. And we see them go in and we see them go out. And we begin to work with somebody and we see that they themselves have not chosen what is true, what is good, what is holy, what is noble. And so oftentimes we can be crushed by that, particularly when we enter into a relationship or we see something being struck down. And in an easy way thing for us to do is to say, well, nothing changes. It's all the same. We say this is new. Well, will anything new ever happen? It's easy to be bogged down and to be destroyed, to be cratered by the difficulties that we face. But don't forget hope. Don't forget hope. Hope must perdure within the Christian soul. It is a distinctly Christian virtue, one of the three theological virtues. I can't expound upon you in the whole. It'd take an hour for me to be able to give you a sufficient look at it, and we don't have that time. But what is hope? Hope is that theological virtue which reaches out toward a good which is possible in the future, not something in the past, but something in the future which is good and is desirous and is a gift of God. And it says the attainment of that is possible. Something that is out there that will continue to be dangled in front of me as tantalizing, as Tantalus of the Greek mythology, but it is something that I can actually lay hold of. It is possible. And particularly, it's that of salvation. It's easy for us to fall into despair when we see so many evils always around us, and it seems like sometimes our work, we don't see the tangible results that we want yet. Hope says that salvation is possible. And so even as we see those go and make those decisions that we would not have, or when they come into our apostolate and we see that they are struggling all the more, well, we hold out hope for them as we hold out hope for ourselves. But hope is an individual virtue, a virtue which we can only have for ourselves. It says, I believe that good is possible for me. So how can I hope for another person? How can I hope for these precious women or for these children or for these men or for those who are there who have no idea what it is that they're doing? How can we hold out hope for them? Here's the key to allow us to hope for another person. How do we unite another person to ourselves? There's only one way. It's through the great bond of charity, love. Love is what makes me see my neighbor, not merely as somebody who exists out there, but as somebody who is integrally a part of myself. That's what our Lord does for you and me from the cross. He stretches out his love for you and me, and thereby he unites you and I to himself. And so that's why St. Paul could say, I have already died with Christ. I've already died with Christ because he united me to himself on that cross, thinking specifically of me upon that cross. And so you and I can unite those who are struggling, who are suffering, who we know not even the names thereof. We can unite them to us by virtue of that charity of loving them as deeply Even though they know not the cross in which they're bearing, the fullness of what it is or what it even means, we can still unite them to us, and thereby we can hope as well for their salvation, as we see that they and I are intricately involved, united. And so what I want to share with you in particular is when we get struggled, we think that just like Herod here was kept trying to see God, but sometimes it's very difficult to see God. In the midst of hardship and difficulty and disappointment and all these things, it's tough to be able to see there. Let me share with you something from Saint Padre Pio, whose feast day we celebrate tomorrow, but we will not have Mass together tomorrow. So I think it's appropriate that we share with you something of Saint Pio. What does Saint Pio say? He says, it is true that a soul may also fail to believe it because it feels continually consumed by an unquenchable and insatiable thirst. But what of that? Does this perhaps go to show that the soul does not possess God? Quite the opposite. This happens because the soul has not yet reached its end of its journey and has not yet totally immersed itself in the eternal fountain of His divine love, which will happen in the kingdom of glory. Let us therefore love to quench our thirst at its fountain of living water and go all the time along the way of divine love. But let us also be convinced that our souls will never be satisfied here below. In fact, it would be disastrous for us if at a certain stage of our journey we were to feel satisfied, for it would be a sign that we thought we had already reached our goal, and in this we would be deceived. Therefore, I urge you in the charity of Christ to make sure that you calm your anxiety. Pay attention to this. He says, to calm your anxiety by drinking of the fountain of divine love, which you must do by faith and by trust, by humility and by submission to God's will. Sister Therese of the Child Jesus says, I am a little soul. I choose neither to live nor to die, but may Jesus do as He pleases with me. Here is the example of a soul completely stripped of self and filled with God. This is precisely what you also must strive to become with the divine assistance. Don't be distrustful in this respect, for Jesus is in your soul, and if you show yourself docile to His action, you will certainly achieve it. Words from St. Padre Pio in one of his letters to a brother. Here it is. That's the key for us. To maintain that hope in the midst of whatever difficulties are there, even though our desires mount and it seems that they are not satisfied, we know that our desires can only be satisfied in the person of Christ Himself. And so we remain within this mystery, realizing that we are still upon the journey. And yet, the goal of our ministry is to achieve God and to let others see God and to see God in us in the way in which we hold out hope even for them as they go about their hopeless ways toward something which heads toward destruction. But hope in Christ is one which does not disappoint. Let us ask our Lord for the grace during this time, during our ministry, during the apostolate in which we do, not to focus on all those ways in which they're frustrated, why it seems like everything that has been always will be, and it just continues in the way, because you and I cannot change the heart of man, human nature. But we know somebody who can, and who wills to do so, and because He's the one who knows, wills, and loves all things toward their good end, it is not only possible, but indeed it is probable, and in the divine eternity, which is God, it is already accomplished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.